Good afternoon. We delivered another very good set of results despite a very tough environment, especially in Europe, especially in the motorway business in Europe. The results highlight two different speeds, two different really environment in the business. Basically, it's not travel retail versus F&B, but it's more airports versus motorways. In fact, you know, if you look at the airports operation, generally speaking, you see that U.S. airports grew by 5.3% with the traffic, I'm talking about top line, of course, with the traffic just up around 1%. The U.K., we have a 4.5% of growth with 1.2% of traffic. Spanish is really astonishing because it makes a 2.3% growth with -5% of traffic. Just to remind you that the airport business accounts for the 70% of our revenue, so it's the most important business line that we have. I'm really pleased also to talk about the cash flow generation because it's very strong. We are up 30% compared to 2021, despite the fact that our EBITDA is lower this year, as you have seen, and our CapEx is higher because we're developing and building basically contracts that we won in the last two. I'm also proud about the development side of the business. Extended in the F&B, like Atlanta, Schiphol. Last but not least, you know, Spain, finally, they're up for bid, and we won the three packages. Retail building an important platform for the business. Just to give you an idea, we have on average seven years, more or less, of duration for the F&B right now, and eight years on average for the travel retail. That is the worldwide more important duration among travel retail. Not only good news, of course. We were talking before about Europe and especially the motorway business. Motorway business has been impacted very bad. There is lack of traffic in Italy. Italy is the center of the hurricane storm, you know. I would say overall Europe, you know, we have problems with traffic in the motorway business, and this, you know, reflects lower top line and being motorway business 24-hour, seven days service, you know, of course, the cost is very rigid, the cost structure is very rigid, so our P&L is. On the other hand, the positive thing is that the motorway business accounts only for 20% of our revenue. Which are the objective, you know? How are we trying to cope with this? We are trying to move out little by little, you know, contract by contract when there is an inspiration, you know, from motorway business and moving toward airport business and the railway channel. Again, we are also trying to rebuild, to change, to develop, to evolve the motorway business in a much lighter way, improving our EBITDA cash conversion and also building a business model with a lighter CapEx. Of course, it's a process that is underway, and it's gonna take a little time because, you know, complicated, you know, you have to change model investments location by location. Takes a lot of time. As you know, there is also underway the study for a potential possible merger. The idea behind this is that we have built two different businesses with different dynamics, different management teams, different portfolio contracts, different cash EBITDA conversion, completely different. That basically requires completely different strategies and completely different execution. The F&B needs a refocusing, a redesign, a redevelopment. It's more, in a nutshell, a restructuring and story, and I think it's at the bottom of a cycle, you know. The key word is more efficiency, back to basics, you know. The travel retail is a completely different environment. We have now an important phase for the business. You know, we have basically nothing that is going to expire in the next two or three years, you know. Really our idea is to grow the business, grow outside Europe and use Europe as a big base for for developing this important division. Brazil, for instance, is one of the things that we're looking into. Now is our turn to attack competitors. So an important bulk of business for Dufry is going to expire in the next 2 years. So we are actively looking into this big process, and I think it's going to be a big battle, you know, as you can imagine. Now I'll let Alberto to go through the numbers in much more detail. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Gianmario, and good afternoon. As Gianmario said, 2012 had been a difficult year, but we delivered. Our sales have grown up by 4% to almost 6.1 billion. The strength of the US dollar helped the result, but it's also fair to say that we have to remind that we also had many stores in US being closed for part of the year due to refurbishment, especially in the first half of the year. So I think that the growth is there and is real. Our two businesses perform in a very different ways, influenced by the different behavior of traffic and spending in the main channels. Food and beverage in North America and travel retail across the board performed thanks to the resilience shown by the airport channel. Our F&B in Europe suffered as it is heavily dependent from very poor performance in motorway. Our EBITDA reflected this trend. Eliminating the 8 million gain on the residual gain of flight disposals booked in 2011, our EBITDA went down 20 million year on year, mainly as a consequence of the flow through of lost sales on the European motorways. In fact, motorways have a comparative higher flow through due to the relative higher fixed cost, namely labor, cost to operating the service areas, and the portion of the rent. In the last quarter, you see that we have succeeded to show an almost steady EBITDA margin, period on period, notwithstanding Sandy, and no visible improvement in Europe. We continue to deliver a strong cash flow generation, with our free cash flow rising to close to 32% year on year. We delivered this despite the 20 million fall in EBITDA and an increase of 70 million in investment. Opposite trend and velocity are also the main characters of 2012. Due to the opposite performance of the two main channels, it is no surprise that travel retail performed extremely well, while food and beverage results were very mixed. F&B declined both in absolute and percentage terms, but also within the F&B business, we see areas going at very different speeds. In the US, we are growing, and both in airport and motorways. The business model is sound, although we would have liked to do more in terms of turning sales into EBITDA. But we only partially succeeded in doing that because of the increasing labor cost that is also partially due to the renewal of the offer and startup cost. In Europe, and especially in Italy, falls in traffic and on the motorways and the weak consumer's attitude have had an impact on our sales and even greater on our EBITDA, as our cost structure, as I said before, in motorways is more rigid. Even with these difficulties, F&B has delivered in terms of cash generation. Notwithstanding a decline of 58 million in EBITDA, we increased our net cash flow from operations by approximately 179 million to 230 million. This has allowed us to finance the pickup of our investment in the business, increases that have been concentrated in North America, where in the last few years we won contracts with a value of cumulative sales above $13 billion. Our travel retail business has continued its impressive growth, both in terms of sales and EBITDA, with the EBITDA growing at twice the rate of sales. And you see here that the rate of conversion of EBITDA into cash is really very huge in travel retail. Finally, in the column corporate, still on slide five, you see the central costs that are in the parent company. The majority of those costs are addressed to run central function of the F&B business, marketing and mainly marketing and design and construction. Please consider that in the comparison of this of the cost in the 2 years, the 2011 numbers include the 8 million residual gain on the flight business. On the debt side, the corporate column includes the debt that Autogrill S.p.A. carries to finance the equity in World Duty Free Group. Now, we will comment the cash flow statement when speaking about the businesses. So let's move now to look at our two businesses in more detail. Starting with the F&B and looking at our concession portfolio, in this pie, the right-hand pie, you see that the other side of our strong investment I mentioned before, with HMS Host being at the heart of it. And this is not only in terms of size, but also and primarily of quality. We are very proud that HMS Host has been recognized for the sixth time in a row as the best overall F&B operator by Airport Revenue Views. Of course, being named Autogrill and listed in Italy, it is obvious that in 2012, we have answered almost invariably to questions about the Italian economy, but the real driver of our future in F&B is, in fact, in North America. And this is also even truer if you consider that the significant portion of the concessions that have a remaining life of lower than 3 years is, in fact, in Italy because of the renewal expected in between 2013 and 2014. As I said before, our F&B business, especially on motorways, has a comparative high operating leverage. It is harder to absorb fixed costs when sales fall, like last year in Italy. In recent years, we have experienced a decline of our EBITDA margin in F&B, labor and rents being the main responsible. Increases of the cost of labor incidence in Europe have been generated by the decline in sales. We also had an increase in cost of labor in U.S., but in this case, that has been generated by an increase in indirect labor costs, and they are consequences of the new concept we have introduced recently. This new concept have helped us to rise sales because of the higher average ticket, but have also increased the labor cost incidence as they require higher service levels. And of course, then on top of that, you have to consider the startup cost for the refurbishment of all these stores. The fall in traffic also explains the increase in rent and other operating cost incidents in F&B. Just moving down in the P&L of the F&B, you see that even the 17 million euro impairment loss recorded in the year is a sign of the difficulties that we experienced in European motorways. In fact, they are related to the impairment we made on the goodwill booked on our F&B business in Spain, that is primarily in motorways. We need to work on being more efficient and reduce the weighting of motorways to improve performance. We also need to see our traffic improving, of course, but we cannot control this. Now let's look at our performance in terms of sales and EBITDA from a geographical and channel perspective. Analyzing our F&B by channel, airports, which represent around 50% of our F&B sales, grew by 1.7%. In particular, in the U.S., when we look at comparable data, our sales grew by 5.3% compared to a traffic growing by 0.8%. So even this year, the outperformance has been significant. Sales at railway stations grew by 4% in 2012, Although today this is not yet a huge business for us, we see a significant potential in this channel in Europe. On the other hand, motorway sales fell by 6.8%. Europe is fully responsible for this bad performance. Because in fact, when we look at what we did in motorways in U.S., we did well, very well, because we have grown by 5.8% year-on-year. So the point is that motorways are a problem, but especially when the economies, the domestic economies are a problem. And this is unfortunately the case today in Europe. But when we look at the performance by country, by geography, Italy is the epitome of the poor performance of motorways in Europe. The traffic has declined by a massive 7.1%, a percentage that sounds unbelievable compared to the previous 40 years of history. Our like-for-like sales did even worse as the weak demand married the poor traffic. And within the sales we did in Italian motorways, sales in the market and ancillaries proved weaker than food and beverage. Cash flow statement looks better than P&L in F&B. Notwithstanding the weak sales, we were able to minimize the impact on working capital, this way compensating for the fall in EBITDA. This, together with the reduction in interest, that has been generated, if you remember, last year we winded up approximately 40 million of euro, 39 million euro to be precise, in the occasion of the refinancing of the facilities rose in 2008 for acquiring the travel retail business. So even eliminating that, the increase of the net cash flow from operation has been significant. And in fact, we have basically financed most of the increase in capex. As you see that, notwithstanding the decline of 16.1 million in EBITDA and increase of 66 million in capex, in fact, the free cash flow of the F&B business has declined year on year only by 15 million. Let's look now at our travel retail business, which had another exceptional year, not only in terms of numbers, but also in terms of our achievement in strengthening our portfolio. We won a new contract in Dusseldorf and Brazil, but of course 2012 will be remembered as the year we renewed Spain. With this renewal, now our travel retail has one of the best portfolio in the industry, with a duration of more than 8 years, with the bulk of the portfolio only due for renewal in 2023. This gives us a solid platform to leverage off and grow, as Gianmario said before. 2012 travel retail P&L shows only positives. The EBITDA grew at twice the speed of sales, 11% compared to sales growing by 5.2%, with a margin that reached 31.1%, a 60 basis point improvement compared to previous year. If we calculate EBITDA before rent, improvement is even more impressive, being up by 100 basis points. The driver of this achievement is the continuous improvement of cost of goods sold. In fact, the engine behind these strong results is the very positive sales mix, both in terms of passengers and in terms of products. In Europe, sales to non-EU passengers grew by 13% compared to a growth in EU passengers of 3%. That means that today, sales to non-EU passengers account for more than 50%, 52% of the total sales we generate in Europe. The product sales mix was also positive, with the key profitable categories delivering double-digit growth. Summary, we captured the best passengers and sold them the best products. Moving to geographies, in the UK, traffic grew by 1.2%. with negative traffic in July and August, where everybody was expecting a brilliant summer because of the Olympic Games. In fact, it was the opposite. People didn't go to London because they were scared or the prices were too high, and in fact, we had the worst quarter of the year. But this notwithstanding, our sales grew by 4.5%. Spain, traffic was a really disaster, negative by 5% in the year, and down 8.8% in the last quarter. But our sales were up by 2.3%, with an outperformance over traffic of more than 7%. Spain is, in fact, the great example of the resilience of this business. The country is in a serious crisis, and domestic traffic sharply declined. But although traffic flows from abroad were not sufficient to compensate the domestic fall, and in fact, you see, traffic went down by 5%, the quality of the traffic in terms of spend per head had been so good to allow the company to see its sales growing. Airports operated outside Europe is the segment that grew the most, that double digit if you consider the comparable sales. It is noteworthy that although World Duty Free is seen as a European operator, sales generated in the airports, including in the rest of the world segment, account today for 23% of the total. That is not too distant from the 29% we generate in Spain. Cash flow increased in travel retail by around 44%, that is from 110 million of free cash flow to 160 million euros. And on this very nice page, let me spend a few minutes to say a few words about the effect of our wins in Spain. As you know, as part of the tender process, the winning party had to make an advance payment of the rent at the signature of the contract. As the winner, we signed the contract in February, and we anticipated an amount, a total amount of 300 million, 306 million to be precise, of which 280 million are this advance payment of rent. The advance payment will be recovered on a monthly basis from the beginning of the new contract, that is starting from next May. As a result, the rent cash out will be lower than the rent in the P&L. So we will record the rent on related to the sales, but in fact the EBITDA that you will see in the cash flow statement will be higher because a part of the rent has been already paid to the landlord. There has been some rumors on whether it's been a good renewal that we're going to make to create value out of this contract or not. First of all, let me say that last December, we participated to a very crowded auction. Those days, I did not have the impression that there were many operators convinced that the Spanish concessions were not attractive. We are firmly convinced that we have done a good deal in renewing this concession, and we are convinced that we will be able to generate much more value in Spain now that we have longer duration of the contract. You recall that since 2006, we have been extending the contract every 3 years, giving us an insufficient motivation to invest more. Now, with the visibility, we will be making the necessary investment to generate value. Now let me hand over to Silvano, who will give you some examples to show you how.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alberto. Talking about travel retail, I guess 2012 was a milestone year for our travel retail business, both in terms of the strong set of results that we delivered, but also in terms of the new platform that we have in place to generate. 2012, we won important international contracts like Germany, Abos in Mexico, then Belen, Brazil, two important countries. But for sure, the most important event was the Spanish renewal. Tender long waited by the market, by World Duty Free Group. I guess one of, let's say, the biggest tender in the travel retail industry. We were successful. We retained all the contracts. Contracts that mind you about 25% of our sales and a similar amount in terms of EBITDA. Now, for us, this is a strategic step. Why? First of all, because we kept untouched our European platform. It was very important for us because through the European platform, we materialized lots of synergies in the last year. Second, as Alberto said, now we have one of the longest, the most stable portfolio contract in the industry, around 8 years. And third, we have now the chance to transform the Spanish in this new long-term perspective. Before offering for the tenders, we went through a very structured approach, following basically 3 steps. The first one is basically analyze the passengers, death, passenger profile, current and future trends, spend per passenger by category, by airport. Second, we looked at the space, amount of space, the location of the shop. Third, we evaluate what kind of commercial actions we could put the different shops. Once we had all these KPI and all these numbers, we compared Spanish airports with other airports in our net to see and to evaluate the upside potential. One of the benefits of being a large player in this industry is that you have a large network, so you find always a similar or comparable airport to make the analysis. So let me give you an example. Example is Barcelona. Barcelona is quite similar to another airport in our network. Similar size, passengers, similar passenger profile, but so far different. Barcelona has a spend per head which is 30% lower than. We are confident that we can reduce this by leveraging on different. First, of course, is the amount of space. Barcelona T1, we will have 75% more space. Now the point is, this new space needed? Our answer is yes. Yes, because in Barcelona, we see a significantly higher square meter compared to any airports in our net, which means that there is a bottleneck. When there is a bottleneck, we lose sales because there are queues, and so we lose part of our sales. So with more space, we believe we can spread and get additional. Barcelona is also one of the 2 airports in Spain that has seen growth in passengers in the last, not only in absolute terms, but also in terms of profile, high spender. The new space will allow us to fully implement the World Duty Free Group commercial model, which means, for example, tasting areas like the bar that we have in T5 at Heathrow. Use of containment, which is interactive technology, video screen. More brands that today cannot fit into the shops that we have nowadays in Barcelona. And optimal space allocation. We can implement the full space planning methodology, allocate the right space, each category and by brand. Second, extremely important factor is the location of the shop. Today the shop is behind the traffic flow. So basically travelers entering the terminal don't see the shop. Tomorrow, the new shop will be in front of the passenger. So it will become what we call a see-through shop. As well as a location, when once travelers enter the shop, they will be guided through a path internally, which should facilitate the purchasing and the increase of the average ticket. The new shop will also have more impact in terms of ambience, with what we call the focal point, new tasting areas, promotional and new launch product area. These new areas will be developed in collaboration with our partners, which are our brands or suppliers, that I have to say have been very supportive to us during the Spanish tender process. So we do acknowledge that we will face challenges during the Spanish transformation process, but we are confident that we have the competencies, the team, and the skills to deliver important results going forward, as we have proved with the success of our travel retail business over the years. In conclusion, As with all our business, we applied a structured approach to tendering and come up with a clear plan to implement. And we are very proud of what we have achieved in Spain, and we are now looking at other opportunities. With that, I leave with Germany.
Just an overview on current trade. 2013 is starting normal, not same trends in 2012. Our sales are up 1%. F&B is flat, but U.S. is making up, and the airports, China is. The motorway business. Travel retail is up 3%. For Spain, as I said before, down. And so, as you know, the first quarter is the last quarter for us, so it's favor of the year, you know. That basically that way. Now, in conclusion, as I said earlier, you know, going back to project undergoing possible special project, we have two different, very different businesses. Operates a different pace and dynamics, different strategies, and different, really, management potential execution. Both, that's important, both, in my opinion, they have very high potential driving value with different approaches. If I go back, you know, when in 2005 we started this adventure of the retail, because before, you know, we didn't have any retail business, travel retail. We did it because we wanted to grow. We were already a big player in the F&B, in the food and beverage market worldwide. It wasn't that big, right? And so we tried to, as you know, to pitch for SSP, you know, with our price probably was the right one, but we didn't win. So we moved into another sector, and then we diversified into the retail business. It was a new sector for us, but we knew the channel, because we knew the B2B relationship of the business, basically the landlords, and we knew also the customer. So in addition, we thought, you know, at the time that the lower capex and the higher cash conversion, EBITDA's cash conversion, was a good thing to add, you know. And the story is simple, you know. It's a successful diversification. Today we are left with still a leading food and beverage operator worldwide, and probably with how to say, you know, probably with the best travel retail operation worldwide, even if it's not the bigger, because, you know, we moved the EBITDA from 8% to 13%. EBITDA this year, the last 2 years, is growing twice the pace of the sales, so really important achievement. And basically, we proved that our diversification strategy of 2005 was the right one. Why now we're trying to we're designing, we're starting to change this situation? You know, because we think we are on the verge of a new situation. Just to give you a flavor of what I mean, you know, just talking about offering, how you win a contract now worldwide. The F&B is a mix of local concept with some global concept. In the travel retail, it's very different. It's global, critical mass, size, dimension, scale, basically. Geographical scale is what makes you stronger than the competition. In terms of challenges, F&B in the motorway business in Europe is the challenge. For the travel retail, basically Europe is the base, the solid base from where they can expand the business abroad, you know. So it's really a completely different vision. And so the key things, you know, is that for the F&B is the key ideas are, the key point of the strategy are focus on efficiency, improve the EBITDA cash conversion, design a lighter capex policy, a lighter capex approach, and basically start with a restructuring and restructuring strategy. With travel retail, it's all about growth. You know, critical is all about dimension. It's all about organic and inorganic growth. You know, that's the reason that is behind this. I think we, following this two pattern, I think we two ideas, we will really unleash a lot of value for both the business. But what we think. And now I think we're finished, and if you have questions, we are here to try to answer. Thank you.
Lustig, di Equita. I would like to start from the last issue you were discussing about. So the goals for food and beverage, and I wonder when you stress the idea of reducing European weight, is it because there's going to be an expansion of other geographies, or a reduction of Europe? That, when it comes to reduction in Europe, is it something that you will manage through disposal, if possible, or maybe abandoning some session? And also, on the second point, if you can give us an idea of what can be done in order to reduce fixed cost, CapEx, and faster to go back to a positive free cash flow generation.
I have to tell you that the cash flow generation is still positive. The positive area. But I think, you know, of course we are going to grow different geographies. We are, you see, you know, we are actively developing, try to develop, in, working on different markets with Turkey. We're doing a lot of things. Of course, take this action. We put this action, this new contract, you know, 4 billion euros of revenues of our business, you know, you don't see them. They're not small size. But, you know, we are developing very fast in this new geography. That's the first thing. Europe is not, it's not that we are getting out of countries, you know, we are of course trying to close and to cut, you know, all the cash flow, the negative cash flow generation. That's this is just an healthy activity that we do in every country. And but the idea is that, you know, Europe, generally speaking, motorway business in Europe right now, as I said a couple of years ago, is a sort of, we want expand this business. We are trying to defend our cash flow generation at that point, you know. So that's the reason why also we changed the organization a couple of years ago. As you recall, you know, we had a general manager for Europe, all the rest of Europe, you know, Giorgio Minardi, and now works in the company. So we are changing this because we don't want to develop this business anymore. What we're going to develop in Europe is the airport channel, and of course we are going to defend our cash flow generation in the motorway, not that we are sliding away or running away from this business. It's more a defense type of game rather than a development. Again, Europe is a big world, you know, because there are countries in which, you know, business is relatively well. There are countries in which the business is a disaster. Spain is a good example. Italy is a good example. I would say, unfortunately, a good example. Some countries that are, you know, the middle, not yet where they're going to go, you know. To give you an idea, for us, you know, a small country like Greece is simply wild, you know, proper way, you know, generating.
Yes, it's Marco Baccaglia from Chevreux. Regarding the merger, is that any thought you can share with us about what stage you are and what could be the timing of the operation?
Just with feasibility studies, so tell you something before the end of. Really, in the early stage, studying project.
Mas Lavazzi from Carpenter. Actually, you want Belém in Brazil, which is a relatively small airport in a big region with big and strong. What is strategy for that market and tapping in?
Quite important for us because it allows us to test all the operative stuff, so logistic, getting the people on the field, understanding the market. So for us it's a low-cost way to get to know better the market. And then, you know, better than me probably, that there is a privatization process for the airports. It's a market that can provide lots of opportunities, but I think we believe it's the right move, I mean, to understand better the market.
There are not other questions. We thank you for being with us to comment the 2012 numbers, and we will look at the presentation of the first quarter. Thank you.